Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you from Shreveport, Louisiana. And today, we want to talk about finding peace in the storm with all the chaos that surrounds us. Today, we want to kind of talk about some meaty things and look on some of the both sides of the topics that have been coming out recently with the World Economic Forum and some economic issues and some responses of even some things that you guys, I think it's worth touching on and talking about here, of this new idea that the World Health Organization is supposedly somehow gaining power over our healthcare system and how that really applies and how we can, in our relationships with our local and state leaders, give a proper response to something of this measure and look at some leaders of how they've responded. But first today, I want to always start, as we always do, start in the Word to help us start our time of updates and prayer in the Word and foundation of the Lord. And I want to start in Acts 27, verse 27, where the scripture clearly outlines for us how Paul, in even the midst of a ship being wrecked, was able to find peace in the storm with those he was on a ship with. And it talks about here in verse 27, but when the 14th night came, as we were being driven about in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors began to surmise that they were approaching some land. And it's very key as we continue our study of the midnight watch of and at this hour of is when they were looking, in this instance, for land. And through this story, we see they do what they know to do to put markers, beakers out to search for land, to see how close they were, to see if they were running aground somewhere on the rocks, and to really understand the seasons that they were in. And Chuck talks about here in his Reordering the Day book of how in the midst of your storm, declare that you will find and have a safe landing. And I think that's more absolutely appropriate for what we're going through right now, of not only the economic, but natural and even spiritual battles that we are in, of crying out to the Lord. And as we're in a humble place, a repentant place with the Lord, of declaring what he is guiding us towards and declaring a safe landing through this season. So with that, having this foundation, we want to talk about some, yesterday we talked about some more domestic things with the unfortunate incident in Texas and a little bit about the primaries, some things to be watching there. Today, I want to focus a little bit more international, as we're now learning of a continued and deepening relationship. And I think this should cause us to hit our knees for this administration on something we've been praying about with Ukraine and Russia and obviously China as well, in that the news has come out from Fox News that Russia and China are flying nuclear-capable bombers in joint military drilling during Biden's trip to Japan. Just that title alone should key in on some, okay, Lord, what's going on? Not of, oh my God, it's the end of the world. It's just, okay, we see this. We understand that Russia and China are deepening their relationships there because of how the EU, NATO, and even the United States being involved in those organizations and the UN are responding to Russia's military aggression towards Ukraine. So we're seeing the fruits of that, which are Russia not only economically walking into the open arms of China, but also militarily, which should be of concern. If anything were to happen with Taiwan, what does that mean? And as we're seeing this, we talked about it on the noon prayers about how with this issue with the Dobbs case, you're seeing the enemy trying to devise a plan to take out the next generation. Okay, if lives are going to be saved via Dobbs, Roe v. Wade being overturned, what's the enemy's next plan to take out lives? And this, I'm not saying it is, but this is a, it could be a scheme of the enemy, but also it's a warning for us, for our administration, because we have specifics to pray for them on this issue and pray that they listen to the right people, pray that the right people have the spiritual and even natural backbone to stand up and speak up in this season. So we want to continue to be watchful of this situation, be aware of what's going on, be sober about what's happening, because this is very potential for what's happening. As we talked about earlier this week, the Indo-Pacific kind of economic pact that the United States is involving with Japan and other nations, and leaving out Taiwan, which is kind of defeating of the purpose of everything. So we really want to be very diligent in our prayers for this administration, praying they have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia on Ukraine and with China, who are helping back Russia in this season. And in a, what I want to talk about next is more of painting a picture about some instances that I think is if you're not careful, you can be caught up in the sensationalism of this topic and things that are happening with what I'm about to talk about. And so I want to preface this of, this is where we really have to keep our emotions in check and understand that the Lord is the creator of the universe. He knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega, as Revelations talks about. And understand that even though the enemy, you know, tries to scheme these things up, what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for good of that redemptive purpose. But also know that there is a judgment still coming for unrepentant sins, and not only in our nation, but around the world. And so I want to bring this up of to kind of lay the groundwork. Is in the recent World Economic Forum, China, of all people, is bragging about an instrument they have created to measure your carbon emissions and ultimately to, they say, guilt you into it. And the idea is to be able to track your every move if you're using a certain banking system that they have ties to, and that if you don't do what they want of a controlled system, then they're going to limit you, basically a social credit score, but in this instance, a social carbon score. And so, which is funny for China, because they're the most pollutant country in the world, or right next to India. And so it's interesting to see this, and they're bragging about it. And I point this story out because it's to show that this stuff's out there, and they're talking about it in these global meetings, to say the least. And it's being presented, and our leaders as a nation have a decision to make of whether to go along with this, as we're seeing currently, unfortunately, or to stand against it. And I'll get to that here in a second. But we're also seeing the fact that coming out of this, and I think this is important to understand and just understand what's happening, is that Klaus Schwab, which is becoming very popular right now, it talked about how the future is built by us, and when he spoke at Davos recently. And the idea is that, you know, they're the one group of people in the world who can solve all the world's problems, and that there's a problem with capitalism. We need to fix it somehow based upon control. That's not how capitalism was intended. The idea of capitalism was intended. And if you go back and read Adam Smith's book, I talked about the invisible hand when talking about economics, the foundations of it, and literally everything they're doing. It's just socialism. It's not capitalism whatsoever. And so I bring this up because it's been presented this idea of that last week, even Alex Jones was warning about, other people warning about this treaty, about how the Biden administration was supposedly going to hand over the healthcare system to them. And so I talk about the World Economic Forum and then this now vote with the UN and stuff, and say, number one, the simplest way to deal with this issue is to have leaders like Ron DeSantis who say something as simple as this, of no, we will not support this. Listening to the World Health Organization. And you saw that this last go around with COVID, of if something comes up, something pops off, whether it be monkeypox, the next thing or the other, is at the end of the day, it's about local municipalities, local authorities. We said it before, Lance Wall now says it, local authorities matter more than anything. So it doesn't matter what they try to do, you can say no. Then there's the aspect of, well, in the United States, the way it's supposed to work, doesn't always work, is that it has to go through Congress. If we're going to hand over our sovereign rights, even if the Biden administration signs on a piece of paper, doesn't make it valid, number one. Just know that. And even Putin right now, China, they're trying to bring up, if you've seen recently, China is being brought up accusations at UN and they're defending it, and they don't listen to them. Again, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's who's ever on the ground. Now, if you let them come on the ground and take over, if the local authorities do, then yeah, you have a problem on your hands. But the reality is look, this is where having relationships with local authorities, not being so demeaning towards them, but being respectful and understanding that they're trying to do their job. But also, like, look, we want to protect and save our freedoms because that's what this nation was built upon. And that's the original intent of this nation, to allow freedoms to reign. So we say all that to say of, let's not get caught in our emotions and get fearful of man, of their plans and their schemes. Let's put our trust, and even as Paul, in the midst of a storm, found peace through the storm and safety for those who are on the ship with him, whether they should have gone or not. Obviously, they didn't listen, but is understanding that the Lord can get us out of these situations, what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for good. And that brings me to a new revelation that is starting to come out, that people are starting to speak out about. This brave heart spirit is continuing to arise, and people are starting to speak out about it, in the fact of, there was a recent banker for HSBC who came out and said the top bankers need to be, and banks need to be, ashamed of their policy making decisions and efforts to basically outmaneuver each other on the climate change issue. And then HSBC suspended him. And he talked about in his speech to at a Financial Times conference about how he said investors don't need to worry about the climate risk because it's basically political maneuvering to try to appease the current, you know, next man next door to you, compete with Joneses type of stuff. He talked about how he's been in through 25 years of his financial career, and he always says some nut job is telling me about the end of the world. And that's really what they're talking about with the whole global climate change stuff. And you remember Y2K came and gone and nothing ever happened. He talks about how it's unsustainable, shrill, partisan, self-serving apocalyptic warnings are always wrong. And that's unrealistically true. And so when you see this stuff kind of pop off, okay, top bankers are realizing this. But not only that, there's a really good article from David Simon, who wrote for Real Clear Politics, and going into specific detail about economists who are being well listened to on in certain political circles. And I think it's worth at least mentioning going through here. And I want to, stay high level here. I'm not going into too deep, but he points out of how economists such as Paul Krugman, who have been Nobel Prize winners, talk about how global warming on our current trajectory, Florida as a whole will eventually be swallowed up by the sea. Much of India will eventually become uninhabitable. And David Simon goes through and says, no, that's actually not true. And he points out the very key basis of why, when you look at the data of studies, not only recent, but in the long term, they do not show that. And he does a way better job. And again, I'm being very high level here of explaining this in showing, and at least want to point to not just the fact of, oh, it's crazy. It's look, there's you have to go back. You can't just say, well, this is this, and this is that. And it goes back to the banker who got fired from HSBC of, look, you've been saying this stuff, but unfortunately it hasn't been coming true, because it's not true. It's all like, you can see it in spirit of, it's getting people caught up in their emotions. They're not being sober and aware of the times and seasons. And David Simon points out this. He says, the bottom line is the famous economists get it wrong, just like others who ignore the facts and advocate policy based on speculation and hysteria. Global warming is beneficial. And in his article, he talks about how actually, and people have shown studies where the fact that the planet is warming actually provides an environment for life to live longer, not shorter. And when you have a global cooling, ice age type stuff, people end up dying because of not able to find heat, et cetera, stuff like that. And there are studies that he goes through and shows that. And I think it's very interesting. And that's why he says here, he says, global warming is beneficial, not harmful, and warrants neither an Operation Warp Speed or any other government action. And there's talks about government Operation Warp Speed to switching from gas to fossil fuels to, you know, renewable energy, supposedly. And it's unfortunately right now, it's not sustainable. And I'm not, I think the jury's still out on whether it is sustainable or not. And the reason I want to point this out, the reason I want to talk about this, of you're seeing this with the World Economic Forum, the WHO, through the UN, trying to gain access to our healthcare system, politician and political leaders going for it. There's also in these articles, I think it would be worth mentioning about how they, even Klaus Schwab was talking about how there are those who have infiltrated systems who are a part of their basically training organization. They call it the Young Global Leaders of the World Economic Forum. Angela Merkel, Justin Trudeau, even Putin was a part of it, but I think he's called, he's basically called it out for the facade that it is, and that they'll eventually, he's going to do what Russia wants, and he could have done it just to begin political leadership around the world in favor. So just because people are part of this organization doesn't necessarily mean they agree with it. But I think this is something to look at to see, okay, in these primaries and these midterms, even in what we saw in Pennsylvania, is why are certain leaders, even Republicans, this isn't just a Democrat issue, this is a Republican and Democrat issue. If they're being a part of these type of organizations and going down this road of giving up our sovereignty, of shredding the borders that are intended and set now, what would they do in office? And I think now's the time to be looking at that and deciding. And I want to bring up scripture, which shows us that the Lord sets our boundaries. And in Acts 17, starting in verse 26, it says, and he made, and this is Paul talking at the Sermon on Mars Hill, and saying, and he made for one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might, grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and exist, as even some of our own poets have said, for we also are his children. Being the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold, silver, or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring, and I think this is where we're at, to men, that all people everywhere should repent. That goes back to Rick Joyner's really focusing in on 2 Corinthians 7:14 of repent, turn from our wicked ways, and he will heal all land, because he has fixed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead, speaking of Jesus and the resurrection and the coming judgment. And so look, even this is where I want us to find the peace, is that even in all these schemes and plans that are being, these ideas that are being floated out there, and it's more spiritual than anything. Let's understand that. And a lot of it from the sensational side doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense in that look. The Lord is the one who's in control. The enemy's not in control. It's going to try to take over, try to fight back, try to resist the kingdom of heaven coming down and invading earth so that, you know, the Holy Spirit can have its outpouring, which is, you know, what we've been praying for, what we believe is coming. And we want to continue to stand on that, but ultimately to find peace, to be that light, to be that ambassador, to bring that peace down from heaven to earth for people who are going through stressful situations economically, as these circumstances are arising. And I want to close on this, is that Biden has come out and really kind of bragged in his tour of Asia, and when he's in Japan, of saying that he understands how the high fuel prices are alarming, but this is unfortunately necessary for us to go to quote unquote renewable energy. And so he's revealing what he's talking about. Which is funny because in Japan, they're not, and even the former prime minister and presidents have said, we're not going to this renewable energy because it's unsustainable in Japan, which is kind of interesting to see, even in this whole one world scheme, the Great Reset and all this stuff, to be going towards this stuff, and warning from top bankers of, if you don't do this, it's going to be a problem, and even warning that the like this one banker from HSBC saying that, well, this is just a scam. Like, that's honestly what he's saying. He's like, this is a scam just for people to get political favors and money and et cetera and stuff to gain control. And it's the spirit of Babylon trying to re-arise in the earth. Let's not forget that with all this stuff. And all it takes, especially here in America, of leaders to just simply say no. And for to do our responsibility as patriots and Americans to vote that people have fought and died for and given us, as we're heading up on Memorial Day, of remembering that we have an opportunity here in this nation, unlike any most other nations, to voice our opinion and to have it heard, despite the problems that arise from recent elections and the voting process, of understanding that we still have that right. And even though they're trying to erode it and take it away, it could still be fought back and gained in the coming season. And giving up and not voting and not being involved is exactly what those who are trying to be tyrannical and take control would want you to do. And this is what happens when nations go from a prosperous nation to the third world country. Something happens. Oh, well, there's nothing we can do. And then eventually, yes, it becomes nothing you can do because you've given up your fight and your rights. So we want to, and I'll end on this for today, is we want to continue as these primaries continue to happen, and then we're coming up on the midterms, pray and intercede for our current and future leaders to have the fear of the Lord, understand the times and seasons we are in, like somebody like Ron DeSantis, because they're looking at the facts, they're using wisdom and revelation to clearly define how they're operating when they're in office. And as we're in these campaign season, we're going to be heading into in the summer, to hear clearly what they're saying. And then if they get in office and don't do it, then hold them accountable and put them out of office, even for those incumbents who are running for re-election. So with that, I will close. Thank you to everyone, each and every one of you, following along with me today. We'll be back tomorrow to round out the week and continuing to stand and pray for the office of the president, not only for this administration, the past administration, but for future administrations as well. Blessings, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.